All right. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 143B. We're on page 599. We've almost reached that magical page 600, which would mean I feel like the horse approaching the finish line. But of course, there's always the appendix, and the appendix is long, some 65 pages of necessary material. We've been talking about the way the will aspect of the rays works through what we are calling here force, energy, action, and the realm of the occultist. We're not talking about the consciousness aspect now. We're talking about the power that propels, the power behind the ability to arrange. We're talking about the prime mover here and not receptivity. Ray 5 is the energy of concrete science or knowledge. It's very related to the first ray, of course. To understand this expression of the divine will, that's what we're doing. We are trying to understand seven expressions of the divine will. The student should bear in mind the occult aphorism that matter is spirit at its lowest point of manifestation, and spirit is matter at its highest. So you could wonder whether spirit is really life. Life is always the fourth point, isn't it? Life is the fourth something, hovering or in the center, as we have been told. Let's see where that is. Let's see if we can look at that and remind ourselves, life hovers. Hovers. Okay, and we would be probably in gigantic hovers. Let's see about life hovering. Life hovering. Is there, yes, we have a few of those too. And we would go to, No, we've been there, and we talked about this fourth, maybe if we say fourth hovers, maybe there, gigantic thought form hovers over the fourth kingdom. Aha, here it is. Here it is. We've just been here, Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 3. Life. What is life? So let's look at this and repeat that this word life, in its triplicity of terms, refers to life as humanity understands it. The word life, to which I here refer, is the life to which HPB refers, as that which synthesizes spirit, soul, and body. It is, in reality, a fourth something which hovers behind all manifestation and behind all objects. It really is the point in the triangle, or the highest point of the tetrahedron, perhaps. It hovers behind all manifestation, and even spirit is part of manifestation. Spirit as the first aspect of divinity, but not as life. Sometimes the word spirit is used interchangeably with life, but we have to be very discriminating, very careful there. All qualified expressions of divinity, and which is hinted at in the Bhagavad Gita in the words, having pervaded this whole universe with a fragment of myself, I, life, remain. It's the all-pervading, sustaining something, isn't it? Okay, so Ray 5, basically this is the will which produces concretion, and yet at the same time constitutes the point at which spirit and matter are balanced and co-equal, thus relating it to Libra, ruled by Venus, Ray 5. The will which produces concretion. We call it also the will to act, I guess, the will to action. All right. That is the reason why human perfection is carried forward consciously upon the mental plane, the fifth plane. This is brought about by the fifth ray, and upon this plane, liberation takes place at the time of the fifth initiation upon, well, this is kind of interesting. I mean, the master does become the master of the three lower worlds. But in what way, well, the fifth plane, the higher mental plane, and there is the destruction of the causal body, the debris of which, you might say, is not dispersed until the fifth initiation. And maybe there is a scattering of the debris and a revelation and liberation simultaneously, perhaps. Scattering of the causal debris and a liberation and revelation simultaneously. This is the will which is inherent in substance and which actuates all atoms of which all forms are made. Okay, it is a sustaining energy, but what does it mean by actuates? I suppose, what does it do? Does it somehow stimulate the movement of these atoms or the modes in which they combine? It is closely related to the first solar system, even whilst liberating members of the human family who will constitute the nucleus around which the third solar system is constructed. So it is closely related to the first ray, which will be prominent in the next solar system. The energy of this ray is intelligence, very related then to the third ray, of course. It is the seed of consciousness, but not of consciousness as we understand it. It is the inherent life of matter and the will to work intelligently. Notice the word work there. Of course, that's also found in connection with the third ray. Sometimes the fifth ray is considered to be a kind of expression of the third ray. It is that living something for which we have no name, which was the product of the first solar system. It is, you know, it seems like it's intelligence in matter. Intelligence in matter. It is one of the major assets of God the Father on the first aspect, because the fifth is related to the first. And also of the human monad, it is the will to action. And I wonder if we can say it is the will to action. Oh, I can't do that. Will to action in matter form. Today, as regards humanity, its highest expression is liberation through death or initiation. These are abstruse ideas. Thus, it is connected with Ray 1, the highest expression of which is initiation. In a way, initiation is death. It is dying to or leaving behind previous limitation. Initiation is death. It is a dying to or leaving behind former limitations. Well, that, you know, it may be the will to concretion, but it was not an easy paragraph, was it? Let's just ponder on it just a little bit more. On the fifth plane, liberation takes place at the time of the fifth initiation. Usually it's considered the fourth, but we have to consider the fourth and fifth as one unit. So let's just say by the time of the fifth initiation, there is a revelatory clearing, a clearing which allows revelation. Okay, initiation. If one could spell and if the autocorrect were working, we'd be moving faster. This is the will which is inherent in substance, inherent in matter, substance, inherent in a certain kind of energy, and which actuates or determines, let's call it, determines the intelligent patterns of action for all atoms, of which all forms are made. So there is an intelligence in matter, And this fifth ray is very connected with it, and this was brought to a point of development in the previous solar system. So there is intelligence in matter. It is closely related to the first solar system, even whilst liberating members of the human family who will constitute the nucleus around which the third solar system is constructed. So then we have to ask, does this mean... Okay. I've got something crazy to say here. Does this mean the liberation of first ray monads? Now think about Master Hilarion, the Chohan Hilarion, who is powerfully on the fifth ray, but it doesn't seem that he is so in his soul, but more on the monadic plane as the Chohan of the fifth ray. And yet, he is one of those, we are told, who takes the kingdom of heaven by storm, as do essentially first ray monads. Can it be that this type of energy was important in liberating this great soul, and may it be that in the next solar system, which will be strongly under the first ray, that he will be one of those who is important in the process of that next solar system. Because those who will constitute the nucleus around which the third solar system is constructed, they are, okay, does this mean, okay, right. I'll put that there. They are first-ray monads, largely. So we're told that maybe they don't undergo so much opportunity here and so much development, and that a certain cultivated nucleus is being created for the next solar system. Who will they be? These first-ray monads will be transferred there, and there they will have their true expression. One thinks of the first and fifth-ray together as having to do with the liberation of atomic energy. When you look at the atomic bomb and so forth, it seemed to come out of the first ray ashram, but the fifth ray was very much involved in it. So this mastery of energy, I mastered energy for I am energy itself, the mastery of the energy is what liberates these members of the human family. Liberated through the mastery of energy. I mastered energy, for I am energy itself. The master and the mastered are but one. And this fits very well, of course, with that whole idea of, as we've been seeing, force, energy, action, the occultist. We're also told that the fifth ray types are the true occultists. And here, Master DK says of the first ray types that they are the occultists. There's a very close connection between the fifth and the first ray, and through the mastery of energy, and not so much through consciousness, the first ray type, which will be a nucleus in the next solar system, can be liberated and prepared for that. The mastery of energy. There are some fifth ray people I know, when they hear that mantra, I mastered energy, for I am energy itself, the master and the mastered are but one, they're very happy. They have heard that mantra. It has a great sense of power. Well, these are we're into very abstruse matters, and I'm sure you agree that in terms of the abstractions which he is laboriously formulating here, in the best words he can choose, this is the book for that. And of course, it makes it difficult for me, and maybe for some others, to really comment or explain or give relevant associations. So this is very much like, the highest expression is very much like the first ray, and interestingly enough, the first ray is associated with death too, but its highest expression is initiation. But I've tried to explain that initiation is death to former ignorance. Death to former ignorance. All right. No. No. This. All right. Now, Rasix, the energy of devotion and idealism. Such a different slant on these things. It's not about consciousness, it's about force, action, energy. This is the will which embodies God's idea. It embodies it, okay? And God's idea is part of the purpose. Part of the purpose. Or maybe responsible for the purpose. It provides the motive power behind the working out of whatever may be the purpose of creation. Well, sure enough. The motive power, a keen desire and motive power, identical here. What that purpose is, we have not as yet the faintest idea, and we're still speaking of the planetary logos. An ideal is related to the consciousness aspect as far as human beings are concerned. An idea is related to the will aspect. Okay. An idea is a great formative power. Idea is a great formative power. We're told that, nothing is so strong as an idea whose time has come. This links it with the inevitability and thus with the power of the first ray. So the idea of the idea, or the idea, can be linked to the first ray. The inevitability of the idea connects with the invincibility of the first ray. And we know that there is much connection between the sixth ray and the first ray, just as there is in a different way between the fifth ray and the first ray. This embodies, today at least, a dominant potency and still has, as I recall, some 21,000 years to run in one of its larger cycles. It expresses God's desire and is the basic emanating energy emanating from the cosmic astral plane. So, if from the cosmic astral plane, it will then be related to the will to fulfillment through which I propose Sirius, Leo, and Jupiter. And at least which involves Leo and the astral permanent atom that Leo rules systemically. So it's a great, it's an energy arising in the desire body of the planetary logos. Nope. It conceals the mystery which is to be found in the relationship of the will and desire. Okay, this is the sixth ray type of will conceals this relationship. Desire is related to consciousness. Will is not. And there we have a great statement. One feels sentiently one's incompleteness, and there is a magnetic energy going forth which seeks to solve that incompleteness. But there is no real incompleteness, and will knows that. So will, well, there is a will to fulfillment, of course, but the will operates from the center of being, which is never incomplete. Being can never be incomplete. Being is what it is forever. But desire is the relationship of the fragment to the whole, and the sensing of the overpowering nature of the whole in relation to the fragment. And it is the desire, desire is related to the movement which seeks wholeness. He is related to the movement which seeks wholeness. will is already established in that which does not change and which is whole. But still, more pondering is needed here. Desire is related to consciousness. When do you desire? Well, when you become sentiently aware. When do you will? Will is a different factor here altogether. But more pondering. It's such a terse statement. Will is not related to consciousness. Will is insensitive in that respect, brooking no interference. The definition of will, I wish I could find that immediately. The whole idea is it's a relentless movement which sees the objective and sees naught else and deflects aught else and is insensitive to anything that may impinge upon it other than it, totally concentrated upon the realization of that which is intended. But we are not dealing with consciousness, but with that impersonal force which drives forward through all the seven planes of our solar system. And you see, it's force again, and makes the idea of God a consummated fact in the eternal now. In a way, the one who perceives only purpose does not perceive process. So the one who, maybe it should be a capital O, the one who perceives who sees purpose does not perceive process. Plan, however, is related to process. Purpose is the sustainment of that which is in the beginning to the end, and plan is full of mutation. So this is quite a statement. This type of will in relation to the sixth ray, which I suppose is the will to cause, is that impersonal force which drives forward through all the seven planes of our solar system. It seems to have much of the sixth ray in it, but it's driving down. It's a desire from the cosmic astral plane to render an idea manifest, and which makes the idea of God a consummated fact in the eternal now. And it also makes the idea of God a factor, I suppose, on the outer planes as well. But that needs more pondering, indeed, more pondering. So it has nothing to do with the desire to be completed in some way. It originates from the desire of God, which we call the will of God. The desire is on the cosmic astral plane, and it is going to, through this desire, there will be a kind of fulfillment of that idea appropriate to every one of the planes. But a consummated fact in the eternal now, well, the idea is always in the eternal now. It does not change. Whatever does not change is in the eternal now. If we could prove that nothing ever changes, all would be the eternal now. I'm going to mark that down. If we could prove that there is no change, and I think Zeno and Parmenides tried to do this, there is no change, then all would be perceived in the eternal now. So does this statement mean much to you? Well, probably not. I would surmise that it means but little. It is a statement of occult fact anent energy, as it expresses itself through humanity in a manner which is unique and peculiar. Well, do you know, does one not get the sense that DK has really, well, I can't say that he's talking down to us, okay? It's not exactly that. But he's talking in a language which usually is calculated to induce understanding in the student. But when the hope of understanding has vanished, as it seems to have vanished in relation to these will paragraphs, he tries to formulate these things in a truer sense. And then you really see his mind fly. He's not limited by our understanding, which is rather hopeless. He's simply doing the best he can to express it, and if we can understand it, that's fine, but he doesn't hold out much hope for it. I would remind you here, remind you of a statement in the Secret Doctrine that an idea is a being incorporeal, which has no subsistence of itself, but gives figure and form unto shapeless matter, and becomes the cause of manifestation. Now there's the hint, right there, an idea as the cause of manifestation. That, I think, is very clear, inasmuch as we're going to deal with a type of will here that is related to it. This statement takes you right back to God, the Father, to the monad, to the One, also related to the sixth, because it's on the sixth plane from below. It is related, consequently, to the will and not to consciousness. Consciousness is, per se, the recognition of a progressive plan. The will is the cause, the energizing principle, life, being. This is the will to causation, and that's really clear, isn't it? We have an excellent summation there, and I want to make it larger. I know maybe no one will ever read this, but at least, you know, for the moment, for us, it will stand out as larger, the will to causation. So we're not, consciousness is per se the recognition of a progressive plan. It has to do, consciousness has to do with registration, with receptivity. Let's see here. All right, I'm going to do that. So consciousness has to do with registration, has to do with registration, with receptivity, but the will is driving forward and is not stopping to register. It has only the visioned objective in mind, the particular pattern which must be created. It is impervious to, undeflected by registrations. So let's say will, per se, is impervious to and undeflected by registrations, by registrations and by sensitivity. Yeah, if I can just find that in the rays and the initiations, I think maybe I can find it about, and then we'll see what I mean. The word is oblivious. Oblivious. Well, there's not too many obliviouses, so we're okay. Here it is. And just see in this definition of the will whether there is time for sensitivity and registration. Ah, yes. I know not how else to express the ideas. Will, here. Okay? It is a blinding conviction. Right there, registration is dispensed with, of an unalterable will. This is the Shambhala effect. And of the unalterable will, we will learn something now, carrying all before it, oblivious of time and space, and I suppose all the impacts from time and space, aware only of intensity of direction, and carrying with it two major qualifications or basic recognitions to the initiate. A sense of essential being, which obliterates all actions and reactions, and that's what consciousness is based upon, action and reaction, obliterates all actions and reactions of time and space, and a focused will to good, which is so dynamic in its effect that evil disappears. Evil is, after all, only an impelling sense of difference leading inevitably to separative action. So evil, the upside-down star, the law of cleavage, the fifth ray, we have to be careful with that fifth ray because it can cause, along with the first ray, an impelling sense of difference. But this particular definition, I think, deserves to be carried into our, yeah, here. All right. So, let's see what we have. All right. So this is Raised and the Initiations, page 175 and 176. 176. 175 and 176. Okay. Let's put that in here. RI 175 and 176. And we will go here and make this green and smaller so we can distinguish it from the parts of the text which are parts of this text. These are imported texts. Today, as regards humanity, its highest expression is idealism, the incentive and cause of human activity. Notice how often Master DK is using this term, incentive. So we get the idea of a great force, the cause, the energizing principle, life being, which drives through all the planes and brings the, what may be an ideal on the cosmic astral plane into the form of an idea on the cosmic physical plane. Because what is an ideal above may take shape as an idea below. I mean, if we're talking about the change of cosmic planes. Let's see. Here it is. An impersonal force which drives forward through all the seven planes. You wonder about forward, but okay, forward, downward, forward, you know, whichever way. Driving through all degrees of increasing lowering of vibration or increasing density. So driving through this lowering of frequency, and which makes the idea, we might say forces the idea to become, no, that's not it. I always forget when I have something on the clipboard. Forces the idea to become, makes, forces, the idea of God to become a consummated fact in the eternal now. Well, whatever is on the lower planes is conceived in the eternal now. It has to become factual instead of simply in the world of being. Oh, let's put it like this. That which remains in the world of being is not factual in the three lower worlds. So this is a great and driving, impelling cause coming from the cosmic astral plane. All right. Now finally, ray 7. And this is the ray or energy. This is the energy of ceremonial order, magic, ritualistic decency, and, you know, interesting names. It is an expression of the will which drives through into outer manifestation. In that respect, it's somewhat like the sixth ray, except maybe the will to cause stops on the lower astral plane, and the desire becomes strong enough at that point to ensure that there will be manifestation. It is that which embodies both the periphery and the point at the center. Therefore, it is radius will, and in that sense, radiatory will, from the center to the periphery. It is the will to ritualistic synthesis. What a wonderful description of that which comes together and is realized as being a unity because the rhythms are so well attuned to each other. So we have here harmonious or well-coordinated rhythms, if I might so word it. It is necessity, which is the prime conditioning factor of the divine nature, the son of necessity. It is necessary that the will manifest itself and emerge on the outer plane. It is necessary that the will or purpose manifest on the outer plane. The necessity to express itself. What we're saying here is that the will must be expressed. The will or purpose of God must be expressed through and through. The necessity to manifest in an orderly, rhythmic manner, and we would say just as the archetype is. Because the archetype is a coherent, harmonious form in which the parts are rhythmically coordinated. It is sustained by the thought of God. It is a sustained thought of God, a sustained thought of whatever creator, a sustained thought of whatever creator. The necessity to embrace that which is above and that which is below, and through the medium of this activity to produce beauty, order, perfect wholes, and right relationships. There's a lot of perfection in this, even though that's related to the fourth ray. Perfection is a fourth ray concept, but at the same time, it is much associated with the seventh ray. It is the driving energy which being emanates as it appears and takes form and lives. It is the will towards expression. There are so many statements here which give a clear idea of these abstruse forms of the will. They have to be read and reread. And so often the word driving is used, even the seventh ray type of will, a driving energy which being, the life, emanates as it appears. Being descends to manifest, we are told, and takes form and lives. Let's see, when we go back up here to the sixth ray, the word, the idea of driving forward through space is so strong. Here's the word drives again in relation to the sixth ray, driving forward through space. So the will is progressive, the will is deflective, the will does not stop to receive, the will moves from its center to the realization of the objective. And here, this type of will is a magical will carrying the idea of God right out onto the outer plane. The incentive is there with the sixth ray, but the force which penetrates to the outer plane is this seventh type of will. This is the will force which penetrates to the outer plane. And today, as regards humanity, its highest expression is organization, a perfect replication of the idea, rhythmically enacted so that it really reflects the idea, which is the archetype. I mean, we have ideas which have to be realized on the outer plane, and the idea that we want to see manifested is, in a sense, the archetype. It's not a true archetype in the mind of God, but for us it's an archetype. So in the above statements of Nentha rays, you can see that the full circle of their activity is complete from the angle of God the Father. The driving forces which create purposeful arrangements. These types of will are the driving forces which create purposeful arrangements, which are the reflections of archetypes. Oh, let me spell. Sustained by the mind of God in the world of being. Ah, yeah. I'm going to get back my autocorrect as soon as it is allowed, and if I don't get it back, you'll never hear from me again. I mean, without autocorrect, this whole process falls. Okay, so in the above statements in Nentha rays, you can see that the full circle of their activity is completed from the angle of God the Father. I mean, that which purpose demands is actuated by seven aspects of will. So I'll just put it down. That which purpose demands is actuated by these seven types of will, the driving force which creates right arrangement, the driving force which creates, well, let's make it purposeful, relationship or arrangement. Seven types of impulsion toward a fixed pattern. Seven types of impulsion towards a fixed pattern. Okay. The will to initiate, now what have we got here? From the angle of God. The will to initiate manifestation and its attendant progressive expression meets the will towards full achievement. So that's the Ray 1 type. The will to initiate manifestation, I think this is Ray 1 type of will, the will to initiate. And its attendant progressive expression meets the will towards full achievement. And the energy of being itself arrives in time and space today in the mind of God at full consummation. So at least the mind of God perceives the fullness of the consummation, even though with our limited perception, do not perceive in the eternal now. Ideas exist in the eternal now, but their actuation on the lower planes may be subject to the processes of time. Wow, we have taken an abstract trip here, haven't we? And of course it makes me think, goodness, is it not necessary to ponder on this relatively short section, which seems like just another listing of the rays, until you begin to read it and discover that the listing is given in an entirely different mode. Extraordinary. And you know, it takes the kind of an anti-Quranic approach, kind of an abstracted approach, where these ideas are realities, touching a world in which ideas are realities, to come to any realization of what he's talking about. He's talking about the cosmic ethers, and that which brings the structures of the cosmic ethers into full expression in the mosaic worlds. Upon the cosmic ethers are those standing waves we call purpose and archetypes, sustained by the thoughtful attention of whatever creator may be concerned. Even we little human creators, we know that if we don't keep the original plan in mind or the original purpose in mind, that everything is going to deviate when it comes to manifesting that purpose or that pattern. The idea of purpose and pattern are inseparable to me. All that towards which purpose tends is the realization of a pattern or the actualization of a pattern. Well, you know, when you're confronted with this kind of material, you say, how much farther can you go, really? I mean, DK is laying out things that he does not expect will be easily apprehended. And we will have to spend years to really assimilate and make meaningful what he is talking about. Anyway, we have here the keynotes of the seven rays and the will aspect. The keynotes of the seven rays are therefore, as they constitute the revelation of seven great beings, so key notes, maybe eventually key notes to be translated one day into sound, perhaps. Keynotes of seven great beings: initiation, unification, evolution, harmonization, action, causation, expression. the keynotes of these seven great beings in terms of the will aspect. This is what we're dealing with, and, well, we use these in the full moon meditations all the time. I think it is desirable, although we're using them, of course, at a lower level than is here discussed. Initiation, Ray 1, Unification, Ray 2, Evolution, Ray 3, Harmonization, Ray 4. Harmonization and Death, how interesting. Action within Matter, Ray 5. Causation of Great Ideas in Expression, Ray 6. And finally, the Expression itself, which is the complete driving through into manifestation. It is the driving energy which being emanates. Well, there's the word emanates. DK deals with emanation, and when there is emanation, the thing emanated is the same as the emanator, though of lesser scope. A being cannot emanate something greater than itself. I think that is a rule. As it appears and takes form and lives, it is the will to expression. Let's see here. The will is the cause, the energizing principle, life being. It is the cause of manifestation. Such an intense desire of a cosmic kind that manifestation must ensue. We're talking about the six-ray will. Such an intense desire of a cosmic kind that manifestation must ensue. And Ray 5 deals with a kind of action, but it's action within matter. And there is the ability through the mastery of energy to liberate the being consciousness by understanding the laws of matter, the laws of the form which holds it confined. And the fourth ray here, intuition is the key. It reveals the wholeness. And also, maybe intuition, let's say, for the fourth ray, reveals lesser harmonies, which must be broken so that there may be progression into greater harmonies. I often wonder, you know, living here in Finland, what happened to Sibelius's Eighth Symphony? Apparently, you know, he had a Virgo moon. It was his wife, who was his great muse and inspiration, thought it was outstanding, remarkable, and he basically tore it up. Why did he destroy a great work? Was he dissatisfied with it? Did he fear what might happen if it was released? Had he reached some kind of perfection that required destruction? Did he not want to continue to hear it because it imprisoned something even greater? Harmonization, liberation, and imprisonment, these are ideas which go together. When we come to the third ray, these things have to be read again. We're not quite in the third ray, we're still in the fourth. I'm working backwards. There is a struggle between life and that which it has chosen as a limitation, and this eventually shatters or breaks it up. Why is that? Is it friction? Or is it it breaks up that limitation the moment that a real point of harmony or at-one-ment has been reached? Esoterically, it might be said that the moment that form, limitation, and life balance each other. In other words, at the moment of perfect expression, at the moment of perfect expression, given the potentials of the form, so thus a relative perfection, a rift appears. And why should that be? Probably there are laws of physics and sound which would tell us why the rift must appear. A rift immediately appears, and through it flows a fresh outpouring of the will, and this outpouring will shatter. This outpouring will shatter the form. Perhaps if we understand the manner in which the fourth ray soul sees to the destruction of the causal body through harmonization, through chord progressions and the like, we will understand something of the shattering at the point of perfection, because that is the closest thing in the human experience. Here we're dealing with, you know, great systemic, planetary, cosmic things, but in human experience we reach a point of the perfected temple. It's a work of great beauty. Art, color, sound, music are all emanating, and at that point the crack, the rift, must appear. What causes that? Is it the will within? Is it the constant friction between that state and something still greater? Or is it simply one of the laws of harmony, that at the moment of perfection, at the moment of perfect harmonization, some separation must appear? So I would want to ponder on that. A rift immediately appears, immediately, at the moment of perfect harmonization, at the moment that life can express its particular idea through that form. It wants a fresh opportunity. It seems that it must be a pressure from the restless spirit. And I would, you know, kind of ask that here. Is this a pressure from the ever discontent spirit? Is it that? If you think about content, you know, the spirit is contained within a form, but it's discontent. It doesn't want to be content. It wants a greater, more adequate container. Actually, it wants no container at all, but the only way to return to itself is through the varying containers or vehicles. When we come to the third ray, we have the highest expression, education, the third ray will. Progressive development, we learn through experience, and education is the key. There's a great movement to make matter adaptable to the idea. It has to work to make a perfected form. Matter is not necessarily in the right condition to express the idea. It's like clothing an idea in words. The clothing is oftentimes inadequate. Much refinement and adaptation is needed before there is a perfect expression. So we don't know what is the great idea of God, or how all kinds of changes in the subhuman kingdoms have to be achieved in order to allow that idea to express. There's a constant arrangement and rearrangement, a constant creativity that is part of this refinement. When we move backward to Ray 2, its highest expression is the mystical vision. It's the will to unification. The process is inherent in the seed, the evolutionary urge. Again, evolutionary, like Ray 3, is the inevitable accompaniment of life in manifestation. This is a little more abstract, perhaps, but it wants to keep everything coherent in synthesis and unified, but it is the appreciation of that synthesis which is. So here we are. We are reminded of the synthesis which is. And we are not creating the unity through consciousness. Consciousness of relation is not the point. It is simply the will to bring about that which is perfectly unified, perfectly synthesized, perfectly coherent, and which is cohering because of the right kind of mutual attraction, archetype attracting archetype, the establishing of relationships which reflect the perfect relationships of the archetype. This is an energy and a force which brings all things into that condition, regardless of whether we are perceiving that condition. And finally, moving backwards, the first ray, its highest realization, is initiation, and we are here destroying negation. We are, the veils of our ignorance are constantly negating life. So there is the destruction here of all that negates life. I want to say that the destruction, they're not exactly in great order, of all that negates life, life and livingness. Right. Well, what a section. Good Lord. It is such a workout to think in these terms, in these abstract terms. All you can say in all humility is you really have to come back to it. There's no way to avoid it. Penetration cannot be had in any kind of superficial approach. Well, this is where we're going to begin again. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure number 143B, page, did we make it? Yes, we did make it, we did. Page 602, and beginning of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure number 144, that magic number of salvation, 144A, page 602, and the countdown is here. We have 33 pages left before we actually finish the text proper of the book. I'll probably have a depression after all this is over, realizing what might have been done and what wasn't done, or what might have led astray when it was supposed to lead to the goal, and so forth. But let us see. Let us end this little section. This will be 11 tapes today. It's my record, okay? Probably I won't do anything for days. We'll see. The Great Invocation. Let's end in that way. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, you know, we're in the wind-up of the book. There'll be a lot of synthetic thoughts coming in, I suspect. And thus it will be as we look at the appendix, which will, I don't know, be some 60 pages, really. And thus it will be when we try to look at the end of a treatise on cosmic fire, which I don't think anymore I could do in written form. It took years and years to do that. Very exacting task. But now I've been spoiled, now that the webinars exist, and one can talk instead of write. I don't know whether it's good or bad. I suspect there's good and bad in it. But that's the way it is for the time being. So, okay, we will see you later, and thank you for getting this far in the book. If you hear these words, you have done that. See you then. Bye-bye.